welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Monday. Woo!
Giving us the mellow start to the week. So we'll put our mellow voice on. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today. All right, now we'll pump up the energy. I'm Ray. That's Paul Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And this is the Knicks, the Mets, All-Star, you know, it's on in New York and in the sports world. So join us on the adventure on Ray and Tay Today. 718-664-9098 if you want to call in and be a part of the show. And we have some great callers and people who call in, you know, quite often. So also email us. Give us your ideas and thoughts about the All-Star game, you know, some NBA Summer League, NBA Free Agency, whatever, at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out a lot of our information at our website, which is very interactive. Got some great poll questions, all the information about the NBA and NFL drafts, interviews, photos, everything. And that's at rayandtaytoday.com. And we're interactive with Ray and Tay Today on Facebook and Twitter. So tweet at us all day, every day, Ray and Tay. Ray, let them know, man, what we're talking about. And I think we got a nice little guest today.
Yeah, we've got a special guest for you today. He's an ex-Knick, an NBA player. We'll tell you a little bit about that. But we'll start the show with Major League Baseball. So it's All-Star Weekend. We've got the Home Run Derby tonight. We've got the All-Star Game tomorrow in New York in Citi Field. So the Mets can't maybe deliver on the field, but you know, their home is going to be the home for Major League Baseball. It has been for the whole week, and now All-Star festivities. We'll get into a little bit of today and tomorrow's action. Then we've got a special guest, like Tay said, Hollis Copeland. He played for the Knicks in the late 70s, early 80s, so he'll talk to us a little bit about what it's like to be a pro basketball player in New York, what he thinks about the game today. So that should be a lot of fun. Anytime we get those ex-athletes on the show, we have a lot of fun with them. And then at the end of the show, we'll do what we usually do in the beginning of the show. We'll take you around the world of sports, talk about some breaking news, some signings, some goings-on in the world of sports. So flipping the script a little bit, let's just jump right into it. We've got Major League Baseball All-Star Weekend or All-Star Festivities 2013.
Baseball has been very, very good to me. Well, you know what I like?
The Home Run Derby.
Well, let's do that, but let's just give them the starters. And for the Mets in the National League, the representative, their young superstar pitching at his home stadium, which is pretty awesome. The last one to do that was Doc Gooden, I believe, in 86, is Matt Harvey. And for Mets fans,
league in strikeouts.
Yeah, and for Mets fans, that's just awesome, you know. And then in the American League, you have Matt Scherzer, who is having one of the best starts since 86 with Roger Clemens. So I think, you know, from the Tigers. So I think you've got a nice little, you know, matchup with the starting pitchers, and we'll hear who's going to replace Freddie Freeman. But let's get into the Home Run Derby. Cano's team for the AL versus David Wright's team for the NL. It's all for charity. What do you think? Who's going to be the home run king, and where will they be from, the AL or the NL?
So you know what? My gut feeling says, and you'll say I'm biased. I know it already. But my gut feeling says that in that stadium that you're going to have a lefty winning. Now, there's a lot of lefties in there, but that right field is just, ask David Wright, it's just so hard for righties to yank the ball out. So I think it's going to be a lefty. I have a feeling that it's going to be an American League player, and I'm going to go with Chris Davis. I'm going to say he's had a wonderful year so far. He's two homers ahead in the American League, right? He and Miguel Cabrera are going at it. This guy is looking like, you know, coming out of nowhere, 37 home runs. So I like him. I like Chris Davis. I don't want to say shock, because when you have 37 home runs at the All-Star break, it's not a shock to win it. But he's not a household name, or at least he hasn't been going into this season. And I think he's going to take care of business in the Derby.
Okay.
Who's your guy?
I actually think the same guy. He was a pretty decent home run hitter last year. I know one of my good buddies, Herman, had him in his fantasy baseball home run league, where they just, you know, pick guys and they do home runs. The guy's a star. You know, you got the little kid who tweeted him on Twitter about, you know, are you using steroids? And, you know, he answered him back and said no. I think you need something to believe in. And I think this guy, I think he's the real deal. And I think it's a shame that people always have to, you know, that someone's excelling just in this day and age because of the past. And, you know, and it's nothing's wrong with thinking, because so many guys have used PEDs. I think Chris Davis, and I hope and pray that he's clean, and I think that he's going to win the Derby. I'll say this, don't sleep
Who's
on Cano.
Who's your dark horse?
I'm going to say Robbie, baby.
All right. I got a guy, a replacement. He hits
You're born to Pirates?
Yeah, Pedro Alvarez. He hits bombs, and he's got 23 of them, or 24, so he can definitely hit home runs. Strikes out too much, but can't strike out in this game, so you get, you know, 10 chances or 10 outs to hit your home run. So watch out for him. I think when they lined everybody up, you know, tail of the tape, I think he, behind Yoenis Cespedes, hits the second longest home runs of all those guys. Now, they don't care about distance. You know, you might have a Josh Hamilton situation where he just crushed the ball in the first round, and then Morneau ended up winning that one at Yankee Stadium a few years back. But my dark horse is Pedro Alvarez.
Okay. I think it's going to be fun. It always is fun. Look, you know the old saying, right? Chicks dig the long ball. So I think it's just good. It's a fun time for the fans. City Field, you get to show off New York and City Field, and I think it's great, especially for just the Mets, who haven't had much to smile about except for a new stadium and Matt Harvey. So I think this will be a great time, and it's always good for baseball, you know, to be seen in its best light. I think what's also interesting, they announced the starting lineups, but we're waiting to see, since Freddie Freeman is a scratch, to see if the second in the fan voting, Yasiel Puig, is going to be in the All-Star game, which would be some sort of poetic justice. Not that you want anybody to get hurt, but this guy is a young star, and I think he'll be exciting, and the fans will love to see him play in New York.
Hates the media, though, so he might not want to come now, because he's going to have all the mics in his face. And, look, either way, he's a young star, and hopefully we'll see him in many All-Star games to come. So Yasiel Puig, for all you Dodger fans, gives you something to be excited about. He may have saved Don Mattingly's job, because everybody was calling for Mattingly's job. You know, they gave him a lot of tools, and I got to admit, that's our guy, Donnie Baseball, but he wasn't doing a great job getting the most out of those players. So,
and the NLS is not doing that great this year.
The D-backs,
in first place. But
in their favor that nobody's run away with that. You know, nobody's on pace to win 100 games running away with that, you know, with that division. But you know what we'll do? Let's go through the roster. So let me read the rosters to you, and you tell me what comes to mind from these two starting rosters.
The starting lineups.
The starting lineup, yeah. And then tell me who you're looking for. Who do you want to play? Because, you know, the starters typically get two at-bats, so they'll probably play at least, you know, four or five innings. So, and then you start to mix in some of the reserves. So, but let's go through the American League first. So, leading off, they just announced today the rosters and the lineup, right?
The batting Mickey, order. Mickey, Mike Trizow.
Mike Trout. Leading off in left field. Robinson Cano at second. Miguel Cabrera at third. My guy, Chris Davis, our guy.
Batting
home
fourth.
Home run derby, Chris Davis.
Chris Davis, yeah.
Jose Bautista coming back off the hand injury from last year, batting fifth.
Yeah, Mr. Blue Jay, yeah.
The ageless one, David Ortiz, DHing. Adam, the rising superstar, Jones, in center field. Joe Mauer, I can't hit for power, but otherwise I'm a fantastic ball player hitting eighth and catching, and J.J. Hardy at shortstop for the Orioles. So the Orioles
batting
have three.
Ninth.
Yeah, batting ninth, J.J. Hardy. So what do you think?
What comes to mind when you think about that?
And Max Scherzer pitching, right.
Yeah,
so what comes to mind when you think about that lineup?
It's an incredible lineup, and you know it's so funny. I think of, you know, it starts off from the beginning. Who are you getting out? You know, Trout, Cano, you know, Cabrera. Then all of a sudden, Davis, Bautista, and Big Poppy. I mean, and that's the first seven, you know. So, I mean, first six. But then, you know, look, the lineup, there's no weaknesses. You know, even, you know, Adam Jones, Mauer, you know, seven, eight, and nine. Mauer and Hardy.
Mauer's a three-time batting champ, right? Batting eighth.
Yeah. So, you know, that it's just incredible. And, you know, Harvey's got a lot to face. I think it's going to be fun to see Harvey, young star, going against Trout, young star, but then also the New York battle, Harvey, that first inning against Cano. New York will be buzzing tomorrow night with that matchup.
Yeah,
so, you want to break down the National League, too?
Yeah. Just a couple quick points. I'm looking forward to seeing Miguel Cabrera, of course, because he's the best player in the game. But I really want to see Adam Jones and see him get some pub for being one of the best players in the game. I mean, this guy can play his position in center field. He can hit for power. He can hit for average. He can run. He's literally the five-tool player. So my eyes are on center field.
He does it all. You're right.
In Adam Jones. All right, National League. A little more experienced, older team in the National League. You're leading off with Brandon Phillips at second base.
Yeah,
followed by Carlos Beltran in right field. Joey Votto at first. The hometown favorite, David Wright, playing third and hitting
batting
cleanup.
Batting fourth. That's a little weird hitting cleanup.
That's
right.
A little respect. I mean, that's respect for him because he really shouldn't be batting fourth, right?
Nah.
But Carlos Gonzalez has that finger problems. He pulled out of the home run hitting derby, so he's batting fifth. Yadier Molina, who's probably the NL MVP right now, batting sixth.
Yeah.
Troy Tulowitzki at shortstop, batting seventh. The underrated, but he's on Rays fantasy team, Michael Kadire, the DH.
He's great.
And the phenom, Bryce Harper, hitting ninth.
Wow.
And playing center field. So that's an interesting decision and an interesting lineup.
Well, yeah, because you could have very easily brought Harper up to be cleanup and moved Gonzalez to five and Wright to six. That's would have been the lineup that I would have thought or seen. But either way, look, it's going to be exciting. I think the American League is a little bit more solid offensively. But, you know, this lineup is no slouch either. I mean, Joey Votto. I'd like to see Joey Votto. I think Joey Votto, to me, I could see him banging one out in the game. Like I told you, I want to see if the fans boo Carlos Beltran, even though he's a National League guy. And then we both love Molina. You know, Yadier's the man. And I think Tulowitzki, he got injured a little bit, you know, a couple of weeks ago. He was, you know, on the DL for a hot second. But he's nice at shortstop for the Rockies. So we'll see what Troy can do.
He always gets hurt, though. Troy Tulowitzki is always
battling.
Yeah.
He's a little genteel.
You know what I want to see? I want to see Bryce Harper. I want to see how he relates to being kind of I don't want to say he's a veteran. He's still a young guy. But let's see how
second All-Star game.
Big, yeah, you know, the player that he is, let's see, you know, one of the knocks against him was his maturity and how people were throwing at his head last year and people were kind of trying to knock the rookie around a little bit, whereas, you know, nobody was doing that to Mike Trout, and Mike Trout was having an MVP season, right? If it wasn't for Miguel Cabrera hitting the Triple Crown, Mike Trout would have won the MVP, and yet he didn't evoke those same, you know, that same backlash that Bryce Harper.
But that's why they shouldn't have him batting ninth. Don't you, just for that whole reason that he's sort of, you know, probably one of the youngest stars, if not the youngest star for the National League, but, you know, shouldn't he be batting probably fourth right after Joey Votto? I mean, I know you respect David Wright. You want to respect David Wright, you know what? Put him second or fifth and switch Beltran. Beltran could have been batting eighth. I don't know. I mean, it's nitpicking, but that's just how Tay sees it and how I would have rocked it.
All right, well, who are
you
looking at? Who do you want to see from the reserves? Who are the reserve position players that you're going to be watching tonight or tomorrow night as you got your two fixed on this All-Star game?
You know, I don't know. I mean, we talked about it, you know, on the last show before. I think for me, I like seeing, you know, these Oreo guys, you know, in the American League.
You want to see Manny Machado?
I do want to see Manny Machado. You know, I think he is – I just want to see the Orioles. You know, I guess it's, you know, nostalgic. I'm thinking about, obviously, for the National League, Andrew McCutchen. You know, I mean, I'm feeling Pittsburgh and Baltimore, right? I'm going back to 79. I'm feeling 79 right now, right? You know, and paying homage to Hollis Copeland, 79-80 season with the Knicks. I'm feeling, you know, the Orioles, Pirates. And so Machado and Andrew McCutchen, I mean, to me, Andrew McCutchen could easily come in the game and still wind up winning the MVP. That's how good I think he is. So I'll go with those two guys. I'm going Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Okay. So, you know, I can't disagree because those are guys that we identified together. And I guess if I had to throw a couple more names out there, just interesting stories, right? Torii Hunter, at this point
in
his career, the veteran, is making an All-Star game.
He was great the other day in that press conference, right? You know, not exciting the fight or, you know, whatever the issues with, you know, throwing at the batter.
He was like, well, what do you think about this? He's like, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
So him and Edwin Encarnacion, another star.
Oh, yes, Edwin,
beginning star recognition. Joey Bautista, Joey Bats is back.
But he was so – remember I said he was so awesome in the World Baseball Classic, too.
Right, no, he was.
He's incredible. And what about if Yasiel Puig gets in? That's who I want to see. I'm sorry. Listen, I think NBA and football, they focus on their young stars. Baseball has got to get with the times and get with it. This kid needs to get in a bat or two. You know, I'm sorry for Freddie Freeman, who I think, you know, the fans voted in, and he obviously deserves it because the fans put him in. But now it should be second place, and Yasiel, you know, he should show up and just tear it up. I want to see this kid bang one out of the park in Shea Stadium and take the slowest trot around ever.
Oh, no. You
That's
don't
what I
want to
see.
Bad. You don't want to
yes,
be
Yes, I do.
Pitchers will start throwing.
And I want him to be like, Cubano, baby, for the Cubans. That'd
oh
be so
God.
Fat, yo. That'd
but
be awesome.
Boy, Eudes Céspedes is in the home run, you know, home run derby. So, no, but the guys I want to see in the National League, you know, we talked about McCutchen, and you know, I want to see him a lot like Adam Jones, you know, get credit for being one of the top players in the league.
Yeah.
But my guys, for a couple of first-timers that I want to see, Paul Goldschmidt, your boy from the Diamondbacks.
Yes.
I want to see
him
do some things. And you know who else? Quiet is kept, Dominic Brown of the Phillies.
That's,
like, people don't know about Dominic.
He's having a great
Yes,
season.
He is. And people know about him as speed and center field and that. But this kid can play. So, you know, he's not a star at the, you know, the mega star level, but he's 25 years old and he's a young rising stud. So
yeah.
Those are my guys. You know, I'm looking
and
forward.
And of course, Mo. You know, I got to see Mariano Rivera.
I see
Mo
every night,
Mo.
Right? But
yeah. But it's great because it's in New York, and even though it's a lot of Met fans, I bet you, bottom of the ninth, National League up, Mariano's pitching, they're going to give him a standing ovation, and it's going to be so loud in Citi Field that, I mean, it's just, you know, it's going to be one of those historical moments, you know, his last All-Star game.
You figure they have to pitch Mariano regardless, right? So if the AL is down, they have to pitch him in the bottom of the eighth, right?
Yeah, bottom of the ninth, yeah.
No, at the bottom of the ninth, obviously, if the American League is winning. But if the American League is losing,
and
there is no bottom of the ninth, do you pitch him in the bottom of the eighth? Do you let him? Do you give him an inning, regardless? I think you have to. I mean, the guy has just meant that much to baseball.
I would like to see them do that, because if the National League doesn't need that last at bat, you got to put him out there. I mean, I don't think who's the AL manager.
I'm sure.
Again?
Bruce Bochy. I'm sure they've thought about this scenario, and somebody on the staff.
No,
he
would do that. I don't think he wouldn't do that. You know, I think it's interesting, though, you talk about baseball and the marketing, and Yasiel Puig just signed some marketing deal, and Robinson Cano signed his first marketing deal with, you know, being with Roc Nation Sports with Jay-Z. You know, it's good. I think that, you know, you need to see baseball guys who I think a lot of them have interesting personalities and can be very marketable. Well, you know what? They got to get on some commercials. You see all the NBA guys. You see the NFL guys promoting everything. You don't see baseball guys promoting Gillette or Cheerios or sports cars or whatever. But NBA and NFL guys, they do. So baseball's got to do a better job of having their individual stars be sort of, you know, globalized.
Right, and it starts
with
making the right decision. And now that I think about it, you know, Jim Leland will take care of Mariano. I got to believe that Jim Leland's been around the game long enough that I was thinking Bruce Bochy.
Bochy,
the National League. Because he's got to make the Yasiel Puig decision, right? And who replaces, I think he wants to add another catcher to the roster, because I think American League has three catchers, and he'd like to have a catcher and save Buster Posey from playing, you know, most of the game. But I think Jimmy Leland will definitely take care of Mariano and give him in that. If that scenario plays out where you know, the NL is, up big, I think he'll definitely let him pitch the eighth. And just say, look, there's probably not going to be a bottom of the ninth, but we got to let Mariano go out in front of the fans. Because if this is his last All-Star game and he doesn't get to pitch, fans in New York will be a little upset.
No, the whole crowd will start to boo. They really will. And I'm telling you, just for TV ratings, he needs to be pitching. I mean, we need to see the – you know what? AL needs to be up like 4-3, National League, bottom of the ninth, coming up to bat. And Mo's on the mound. And I'm telling you, they'll get some real decent ratings. You know, I really think, you know, it's sort of like one of those, you know, it's just like a novel, you know. It's poetic justice. It would be so perfect. And, you know, baseball, just the whole nostalgia of the game, it would be fitting for that, to see it, you know, play out that way. So,
yeah, that would be great.
So, listen, man, let's start to get into a little bit of basketball, as Hollis Copeland will join us soon. And, you know, we'll watch the Derby and the All-Star game tonight. But the NBA, man, and we'll have to ask him this right off the bat, the news of the day, Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, agrees to a 2-year deal with the Knicks. The second year is a player option. So he got the mini mid-level that they had left, the 1.7. And the second year is a player option, where in the second year he can actually make some more money for the Knicks. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, obviously they had to get somebody. Elton Brand signed with the Hawks. Your boy John Lucas III signed with the Jazz. Greg Oden is interviewing a lot of people. Do you like Ron?
Which is
a
defensive coach. And
Meta.
The fact that Meta can still play D, he's not the player he was 5 or 6 years ago, where he was definitely – a two-way player, right? He was a top, 10 defender and a top, 20, 25 offensive player, which was pretty rare to get a guy that goes both ways like that. So, look, the Knicks are hamstrung with the salary cap. So if they can get something out of him, and you know that Woodson's a defensive coach, and so I don't know where he plays, right? Does he play the three along with Carmelo? He lets he slides Carmelo back to that four, which we don't really love. Or does he spell Carmelo and give Carmelo some minutes at the three? How does that work?
I think
work
he plays
together?
Backup
does,
three. Yeah. Backup I think
three
Bagnani will probably start at the four, and he and Meta will play backup three. And I think I saw him today on NBA TV, his interview. He sat down with Spiro and Walt, and I got to say, I was not excited about the signing, but after the interview, he got me hyped up and excited because he was like, I'll play in New York for a dollar. He's hyped about coming home. He said,
that's
I will
good.
Do whatever coach wants me to do. He's like, I'm coming to, you know, fit in with Melo and Amari and be a soldier for them, help them out. And he's like, it's harder to win anywhere else. You know, New York is the hardest place to win. He was like, you know, I went to St. John's. Stay home in St. John's because, you know, it's hard to do it in New York. He's like, I want to win, and I want to do it in the hardest place to do it, you know, in New York. He's like, we're going to get it done. So, you know, the guy's got, you know, people could argue whatever they want to say about him. He's got basketball IQ. He's just played with Kobe. He's got two rings. If his head is on right, Meta World Peace will be helpful to the Knicks. I do think he's more on the downside of the career, but as much as I'm not loving it, I'm starting to get a little excited about it, man. You know,
well, you figure,
you know, that was our guy at St. John's. That's Ron, yo.
Yeah. Remember Eric Barkley and Ron Artest and Bootsy Thornton? And
Bootsy
they had
Thornton.
A squad.
What?
Yeah. So
Bootsy.
I agree. I mean, it's growing on me because the Knicks don't have many options. I mean, how many veterans are out there peddling? But no, how many veterans are available for the Knicks for the mini-mid level where we only have 1.7 million left? So to get a guy who wants to play in New York, and I think at this point in his career it's okay for Ron to play in New York. Remember, the Knicks could have had Ron Artest. The Knicks drafted Frederick Weiss, the player before Ron Artest, and the Bulls drafted Ron Artest right after.
Yeah.
So he could have been a Knick. But I think at this point in his career, he wants to be in New York. He won in L.A. So he has his sights set on bigger things and just riding out into the sunset and, you know, making a few bucks, playing out the end of his career. So I like the signing, given the fact that the Knicks don't have much in the way of salary cap, given the fact that Mike Woodson seems to be a player's coach, given the fact that we have guys – who want to play offense, but not that many that want to play defense. So, you know, you figure Tyson Chandler, Iman Shumpert, and J.R. Smith at times, but that's about it. So, you know, you get a defensive, tough-minded guy, and, you know, the Knicks look like a tougher team.
Well, that's what he said. He's like, yo, I want to play defense with that young kid, Shumpert. He's like, me and Amon, you know. And I got excited. I was like, that's right, yo. I mean, they could lock some cats down for a hot minute there on the defensive end because Shumpert plays some nice D. That's what he's known for, even though he wants to, you know, Shumpert said, and I like hearing this. He's like, I want to be the number two scorer on the team. Well, I'm like, whoa, slow your roll. You got Amari and JR. But, you know, hey, if Shumpert could develop to be our number two scorer, God bless him. That'd be awesome. But, you know, Meta World Peace will play his part and fit his role, I think, nicely. You know, I really want and I hope we can bring back Kenyon Martin. I don't want to lose Kenyon Martin because we still don't have a real four. Now, if we can bring back Kenyon and we're going with C.J. Leslie and Jeremy Tyler, who are going to be invited to training camp, and then you got Tim Hardaway, so that means on the back end of the team, 10, 11, and 12 on the roster are young puppies with Jeremy Tyler, who was at UCLA and went straight from high school, you know. And
from
you know,
L.A., you went straight from high school
from
to
Europe,
yeah.
But, so, you know, to have Tyler Hardaway, who got a little banged up, but he's okay, just a bruised wrist, and C.J. Leslie, who, you know, Woodson spoke very highly of him. He was like, hey, listen, we didn't have a second-round pick, and the fact that this guy did not get drafted, it was like us getting a second-round pick, and we think he's a steal. He's just got to, you know, learn the game more. But Woody's like, hey, I'm going to coach him up. So I'm excited. I think, you know, Kenyon Martin would be important to get back, but he might go to the Clippers. We'll find out, you know.
Still need some size and still need some rebounding. So, especially with Andrea Bargnani playing so far from the basket, the Knicks definitely need a little bit of something. And I don't know that they have the money to get anybody, though. You know, there's a premium paid for big men in the league, and the Knicks don't have any salary cap maneuverability. So I don't know.
And Greg
exactly
Oden's not coming to us, you know. He's meeting with the Pelicans, Kings, Mavs, and Heat, you know, and they're all going to take.
Those are the second-tier teams. I mean, everybody was talking about that he was looking at the Cavs and the Spurs as being his top two teams.
Yeah, well, we'll see what, you know, we'll see what happens. I could see him easily going to Miami, as some people rumor that they thought, oh, Metta World Peace would be a good fit in Miami. But, you know, they have enough threes over there with Mike Miller and Battier and all that. But, you know, I think what's interesting also, you know, some stuff that happened since last time we were on, you know, Karolenko with the Nets, that's solid. You got D'Alembert probably going to sign with Dallas, and they're going to bring back Brandon Wright. You know, Jeff T goes back to the Hawks with that offer sheet. So, you know, I mean, hey, it's all NBA free agency and all that stuff is great. And we'll have to talk to our guest, Hollis Copeland, about it.
We have a caller now.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Ray and Tay. Today you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Hollis Copeland.
Hey, Hollis, how you doing? Thanks
I'm
for joining
well.
Us.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Great, great, great. So, yeah, so this is Ray, and I got my buddy Tay on the line.
Hey, Hollis, this is Tay, Eric Taylor. Great to have you on, man. We're very excited.
Excellent. What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're good. We talked a little baseball before. Now we're getting into the NBA. So, we don't stop following any sport, and certainly not the NBA. So this is, I joke with Tay about Summer League. Tay's watching and scoping out all the Summer League action. So he's our Summer League scout. But let me ask you something. As a former pro basketball player yourself, how much do you follow the NBA, and what do you think about the state of the league and the state of the game right now?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I follow it intensely. I had the very fortunate ability to talk to Chris Copeland, who everybody thought was my cousin. I'm not sure if we are cousins. He just got traded from from New York to Indiana.
The Pacers, yeah.
Yeah, to the Pacers. I was a little, annoyed with that because I thought he could really help the Knicks. But I'm looking at it, I'm saying, you know, the times that we used to play, we played with, you know, whether we got paid or not, we wanted to be the best in the world, right? To say we were the best in the world, I would play against Larry Bird, play against Dr. J, play against Magic Johnson, and say you did well against them, right? It wasn't so much a business as it is now. It was always a business, but it wasn't as business-minded as it is now.
Okay.
You know, so at times, and I don't want to put any negative connotation in anybody's mind, but, you know, there's almost a sense of entitlement rather than to just go out there and earn it, play the best you can play each and every night, not taking off a night. You know, like Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, they don't take off a night. LeBron James, they don't take off a night. They may have a bad night, but they never take off. You don't feel that way with some players. You know, and I just figured that's what's changed the complexion of the game. Almost a sense of entitlement, which...
And do you think it's because they just make so much money and it really has become a business? I mean, these guys are very well paid. I mean, I remember the old stories about, you know, baseball players, let's say, in the 50s and 60s. They had to have second jobs because they weren't making enough money. And then eventually, you know, pro sports became very lucrative. But do you think it's because of, you know, these kids growing up and maybe it's
AAU,
because of pampering, AAU pampering from an early age, or is it just because there's so much money out there?
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of that. You know, I think it's a bit of the money, of course. You know, these players earn a great income, you know, great salaries. They get great endorsements. And you're right. I mean, back in the day, pro baseball, basketball, football players had to get a second job in order to make ends meet, okay? And I think that because they've become, and also it's become kind of like specialized too, like certain players play defense, this player, he plays good offense, he comes off the bench, he's a quick scorer. You know, it's become like specialized, you know, whereas players just do get out there and just play. I mean, how much do you pay a player like, let's say, Oscar Robertson, the average triple-double? How much should he earn?
How much do $25
million. How much does he earn? How much does the Wilt Chamberlain earn? Bill Russell earned, he had 11 rings in 13 years. How much did he earn?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And he played both ends of the court, actually. You know, he ruled on the defensive end more so than the offensive end and really determined the game on the defensive end. So how would you pay players like that that played for the spirit of the game and not so much, you know, contingent upon money? So,
no,
yeah,
you're
I
definitely
think that,
right. So, you know, I got to ask you, Hollis, and Ray and I, you know, grew up New York City, both huge Knicks fans, and you talking about the spirit of the game. I was there because I had season tickets to the Knicks, and I used to sit right behind the visiting team bench. I used to talk so much mess with Dr. J, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, all the different players when they came into the Garden. You know, they had to hear from this young African-American boy who was, you know, courtside because my parents, you know, had tickets. And I can remember watching you play. And for me, I want to know, like, what was it like being a Knick in that time and some of your favorite teammates, you know, teammates that you played with, being a local kid from Trenton and Rutgers and stuff? Can you sort of tell our audience and our listeners, you know, what that was like for you personally, and who were some of the guys that you loved going to battle with every night?
Well, it's almost like this was scripted. You mentioned some of the best trash talkers in the history of the NBA.
Oh,
Dr. J, you know, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, you know, Larry Bird. I mean, he talked trash all the time, you know. So you look forward to playing players like that, not so much to stop them, but to keep them from doing what they wanted to do. So it's called containment rather than trying to stop them. You know, defend them where you're tapping the ball away from them and, you know, not let them do what they want to do. And if you win those games, those are bigger games to me personally than going out and winning, like, the first game of a playoff game. You know what I mean? There's some personal satisfaction when you play against players that are going into the Hall of Fame, first ballot, and have them talk trash to you, and you can talk trash back to them and defend yourself. You know, it's wonderful.
Right.
I remember my first year with the Knicks was an interesting year because it was the first year that the Knicks had an all-black team. And Pete Vesey.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Remember that? They called us the Nigger
Monster.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so.
And we had Vesey on our show, so he would remember that too. He was a guest.
Yeah, Pete's a good friend of mine. I love Pete. And so it was very, very different. We had five rookies my first year. I was the last person picked to play on the team. And I remember going to the locker room. I had just got cut by Denver the year before, and I was the last one cut by Denver. I'm saying, I hope this doesn't happen all over again. But I did have a good exhibition game prior to the night prior. So I thought I had a pretty good chance. And when I saw my name on the roster, and you talking about the person that died and going to heaven, I was totally elated. Called my mother, my father, let them know that I made the team. I heard my mother yelling in the background. Call this person. Call that person. You know, it was just
crazy,
man.
Hey, Hollis, how was it playing, you know, being, like Tay said, being close to the Garden? I guess your hometown team technically would have been the Nets. They had just moved from New York, from Long Island, I guess, a few years earlier. But playing for the Knicks, playing for Red Holtzman, playing, you know, getting there, and you had, you know, that was at the end of Earl Monroe, you know, time as a Knick, and like you said, it was almost a changing of the guard. But what was it like playing in New York close to home and in the Garden, the mecca of basketball?
Well, I'll start with what you just said, Earl Monroe. Earl was just, when I had just made the team, Earl was coming. He was signed as, I think he just signed a 2-year contract or 1-year contract, but he wasn't in veterans camp a long time, so he was looking to get in shape. And I used to, as a kid, this is honest to God, as a kid, I used to emulate his moves, go between my legs a little bit, had that little spin move that he had.
Yeah,
I used to do that spin move. Like I told her, I said, my spin was just as good as yours when I was a kid. He used to crack up with that.
And with the bullets, when he was killing the Knicks, when they were going at it, Knicks and bullets.
Oh, my gosh. Birthday battles. I mean, I remember CBS, you know, where Sonny Hill and Bill Russell would be talking about and on Sundays. They used
on
to go
tape delay, too. Yeah,
oh,
there was a lot of – yeah.
Yeah, oh, it was great. And one day Earl had asked to play me one-on-one because he wanted to get in shape. Once again, man, here I am, a guy that
wow.
I idolized, had a chance to play against him one-on-one, and this was this between he and I. We became very good friends from that day forward. Playing with the Knicks, playing with Michael Ray Richardson, Ray Williams, who just passed away.
Yeah.
God bless his
soul. You know, Red Holtzman, who played mind games with you, you know, he always tried to, you know, keep guys on edge, you know, never made you feel comfortable, and just a very good experience from the standpoint that you're doing what you want to do. You grew up to play basketball. You want to play basketball. Now you're getting paid for something that you love doing. It's fantastic. Going from city to city, I love traveling. Going from
right.
city to city. Being able to travel, you're traveling first class, you're in a first class hotel, you know, everything that comes with it, man, was wonderful. Endorsements were nice. Back then, I thought they were nice. I was getting, like, probably minimum. But for me, it was great, you know. You go from down here to up here, and all of a sudden, you know, you're a superstar. People recognize you. Sometimes you go into restaurants, your money is no good. You know, it was just, you know, you felt like a king.
That's got to be so awesome. Hollis, let me ask you this, right? I mean, you know, we sort of were starting off the day right before you came on, and we're talking about Meta World Peace. And looking at the Knicks now, and you mentioned that you follow the game, what do you think, you know, obviously the Eastern Conference is so tough, and you look at, you know, Miami, the Pacers, Derrick Rose back with the Bulls, all the stuff the Brooklyn Nets did with Garnett and Pierce. When you look at this Knicks team, what do you think – that they need to possibly get over the hump to really, you know, get to the Eastern Conference Finals to battle the Heat or, you know, beat out the Pacers? What's missing or what do you think Woodson's needs to get going with these guys?
Well, I tell you what's missing, and you had it. And you really had that piece last year. He got hurt early. Was somebody like Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah.
You know, you bring that mental toughness. You bring a guy that's going to bring that every single night, challenge everyone to play the way he played. And he has that playoff experience. He's won, you know, he's won a ring. So you have to respect what he's done in the past. I'm not sure if that part of the puzzle will be there next year. Maybe Meta World Peace would be the one that can do it. But he has to be able to play the way he played in Indiana.
Right.
You know, kind of like with a little reckless abandon, but bringing an edge to the game that will become infectious with other players. And I mean, like Rasheed did. You know, everybody goes out. I'm putting my heart out on it. You guys got to do the same. Challenging your teammates to play 110% rather than 100%. You know, give that extra effort. You know, play through the bell. You know what I mean? That's what that
is. Right.
Especially on defense. Because, we were talking about this a little bit before. Yeah, I mean, because really, if you think about it, the Knicks only have two guys, probably Iman Shumpert and Tyson
Chandler.
That actually want to play D and that pride themselves in D.
I challenge you on that. I think Frigioni plays D.
Oh yeah, Pablo.
Okay, but he's limited in his minutes, right? He's not gonna be on the court 35 minutes a game. But you're right, Pablo Prigioni plays D. He's a little older, but I like Ron Artest. You know, I'm trying to get the most out of this signing because the Knicks have salary cap issues. So I like Ron Artest's DNA from several years ago, like you said. But this notion of, you know, pride in your defense. Not only hustle for the loose ball, that's great too, but also the Knicks haven't said to themselves, you know what, we're going to stop you now on defense. This is going to be a shutdown possession. The Knicks' philosophy has been around, you know, Carmelo's going to score in the fourth quarter and we'll get a stop here and there. Now, Woody's a defensive coach, another Knick, another ex-Knick. So I think he loves this signing. I got to think that he's very happy to get Artest into the mix.
He is. He's very – I mean, let's face it. You remember last year, early part of last year, the Knicks went on a nice run, and it wasn't just the offense. They were playing defense. Carmelo was playing defense, going diving into the stands, and everybody was infectious, right? Everybody started playing defense, and it was shut teams down in the latter part of the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and the game was probably over midway through the fourth quarter. You know, you can see where teams kind of like gave up. That's what you need. Okay, you need that kind of – it doesn't have to be really shut-down defense, just hard-nosed defense to take the fight out of the team. Okay?
Which is why I was going to say I hope we can re-sign Kenyon Martin.
That would be great.
Fill out the roster, because you're so right, Hollis. Like Rasheed, and even having the veterans like Camby and Kidd who both, were kind of injured but – the two of them and Rasheed, those three guys were like, they were just amazing in the locker room for the team last year. And Rasheed, he won in Detroit and he has such respect and, he's going to be a coach over there in Detroit. I want to ask you in terms of with basketball and just, all your travels, because we know you played overseas and find out what you're doing now. But have you ever thought about being involved in the game, whether it was any type of coaching or have you done any coaching or anything like that? Like what is, in terms of your interest of teaching the game and passing it on to some of the youth, is that anything that you do and what type of stuff are you doing now that people might, learn more about you?
Yeah, well I do clinics from time to time. I speak to the youths. Boy, I'm glad my wife's not on the line because she tells me I've been coaching a long time ago, 20 years ago. And she really, man, she's all about it. You should be coaching. You love the game. You love people. You got a lot of knowledge to get these guys. You stay in shape because you like playing it, and that's, I hear it all the time.
So it's
something I do have a passion for. But once again, you got to make a living. You got to start somewhere. And I'm not sure if, in fact, given the opportunity, if the opportunity presented itself in such a fashion that I can pick up, where I am now and make the same amount of money, be able to get out and do the things and be able to have a voice and a program, then we're talking about a different story. You have to, you can't go into a program where everything is pretty much set and they're using your name in order to get things done. So you want to have some input. You want to be able to drive the program. And that's the nature of the way, that would be my way of getting back into the game. Not acquiescing to someone else's program, but building your own program. And go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say, you can do, you can be the ambassador of the mid-range game. So you're at 6'6", that's about the right size for somebody to have an in-between game. We keep talking about, Tay and I, we're kind of old-school basketball fans. Grew up in the 70s and 80s watching basketball. And what seems like is missing from today's game, it's all about going to the basket and shooting threes. It's like J.R. Smith is kind of the embodiment of today's game. So we joke. We say, if somebody could just teach these kids that the mid-range game, don't be afraid of the mid-range game. It's a nice, it's a nice asset to have to play, 15 to 20 feet from the basket, have some, offensive skills, be able to defend out there too. So you can, we've just appointed you the ambassador of the mid-range game.
It is a great, and the funny thing, you may laugh, but the mid-range game is one of those things that seem to become extinct. I mean, you think about this. How many guards now have that little mid-range? It's even a close-in floater. I mean, Tony Parker has it down. But you don't have that. There's not that many guards that can get in the lane and not go all the way to the hoop and shoot a little floater. And by the way, that floater gets you on the foul line. It makes the defense come at you. The big man got to come out. If they come out, they see that flow, they try to block it a couple times, they know they can't block it, so then they try to get close to you. Now they open up the passing lane. Those are the things. And you got guys that are, you got some real good forwards that if they have that mid-range game, and you only have a few that have it right now. By the way, LeBron has it.
Carmelo has it.
Those guys, they can get in the lane. They can get that little, and they, you know, they can make things happen 18 feet in. You know,
the guy for me who comes to mind is Alex English. Like, why don't people put on his tapes and say this guy was a prolific scorer, and he wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the fastest, he wasn't even the best shooter, pure shooter. He wasn't Ray Allen, but he's unstoppable. You know,
right.
And
right.
People just should look at his game and say, wow, I could take some things from his game. I mean, Bernard King was devastating. Right after you left, Bernard King came in and was the face of the franchise. But he was just physically, you know, strong, talented, could finish, you know, baseline. So he had some gifts. He was more gifted than Alex English from a physical standpoint. But Alex English, you look at him and you say, wow, this guy was one of the best scorers in NBA history and basically just made his living in that mid-range game. Yeah.
Same with Mark Aguirre. Mark Aguirre was tough like that, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, if you want to go there, you have to go with George Gervin.
Oh, yeah. The Iceman.
Iceman with a finger roll. Yeah, sure.
You know, it's so fun. Hollis, let me ask you, because it's funny that you say that, and obviously you have the passion, but you played against some of these great legends. How do you, who someone has, you know, touched the NBA ball, how do you sort of compare errors or even look, or, you know, maybe we just can't even compare errors because, like you mentioned, Oscar and Will and Russell, right? But how do you look at sort of just three guys, you know, LeBron, Jordan, and Kobe? How do you personally sort of see them and rank and rate them? Obviously, LeBron's not finished yet, but.
No, LeBron's not finished, but LeBron's more of a freak of nature. I mean, you know, he's 6'8". You know, 240, he's a freak of nature. I mean, he's very fast. So whatever he is, I mean, you're not going to get in his way. Just put it like that. Right. You're not going to get in his way and take a charge. All right. That's a career changer, right? So he's, right? I mean, you know, you're not going to play basketball anymore. So, I mean, he's a freak of nature, right? So Michael Jordan, Kobe, a very, very economical players, okay? They play on both sides of the floor. They're not super big. They work out. They work harder than anybody else. And they've gotten better than most of the people in the era because of their work, their workmanship, okay?
So,
but LeBron, not to say that he doesn't work, LeBron's a gifted man because he is a freak of nature.
Right.
You got somebody that big, that nimble, that quick, can jump that high. Okay. He can do whatever he really wants to do just by virtue of his, you know, his size.
Yeah.
His size. Okay. And he's right. He can score. If you want to score 30 points, 40 points a game, he can probably do it. All right, he can probably do it, but he can handle, you know, he can shoot. And now he has long range. Before they said, you know what, we'll let you take those three-point shots. You won't do it now.
That's also great, to his credit, right? A lot like a Magic Johnson, who couldn't shoot in the beginning of his career, and he came in with, you know, Norm Nixon, and they got rid of Norm, and then just said, all right, Magic, you're going to have to not only run the point, but you're going to have to learn how to shoot. And so LeBron, you know, did his thing and got better. So people need to start giving him credit for that. But let me ask you, on that same notion, what do you think about a guy like Dwight Howard, who is just as physically talented, you know, as LeBron, for his position, right? 6'10", he won't be able to be as nimble and agile as LeBron. But at 6'10", 6'11", he's about as physically talented as any center we've seen before in the league. But he doesn't have the championships under his belt.
And
that's a very good point. Well, let's look at it this. All right? If you look at all the centers in the league, look at all the centers, the pure centers in the league, I would put somebody like Hibbert, okay? Hibbert, and I say Roy Hibbert is a real center. Roy Hibbert proved that he's one of the top centers in the league during the playoffs.
Yeah.
One thing Roy Hibbert did that probably, I don't know if Dwight did or he didn't, but I didn't see it, is Roy Hibbert took it upon himself and worked with one of the best centers that played the game, and Akeem Olajuwon.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw Olajuwon in his game during the playoffs, those steps, you know, he had the foot movement that was unparalleled by any other center that played in the playoffs. Okay?
I agree.
And he made, right? And why don't somebody like Dwight Howard do that?
Well, the Rockets are about to—they're going to hire Olajuwon, so
yeah,
he'll have the opportunity.
Yeah,
well, they need
to do that every
they
day.
They need to, and that would be the thing that would change his career. Okay, aside from the foul shooting, which he should be on the line day in and day out. If he can shoot 75%, if he can shoot 70% from the foul line, he would increase his percentage by 10 points. He would increase the points per game by 10 points.
No, you're right.
Yeah, and with McHale in one ear and Olajuwon in the other ear,
you can't go wrong.
He's only 27, so it's really, this is his time to shine. And if Dwight Howard doesn't win a championship, I got to say Daryl Morey put a decent team around him. He's got all the people in his ear that need to be in his ear, namely, you know, two of the best big men in NBA history. You know, this guy's got it. He's got to go get it. But the foundation is set with, you know, Chandler Parsons and James Harden. You know, maybe they'll make another free agent move. But that Houston team, I mean, it's there for them in the next 3-4 years to win a championship.
Oh, yeah, they can be there. But you remember now, let's look at the rest of the league. Nobody's going to give it to them. You still have Miami. You still have Oklahoma City, who's going to be coming.
Now the Warriors and Clippers are coming.
Now the Warriors and Clippers are coming. Hey, it's going to be a war. And by the way, San Antonio's not going away.
That's right.
Yeah, with Kawhi Leonard being a young star now.
Well, listen, this kid, he's 23 years old. Leonard's 23 years old.
Yeah.
You could build a team based around him. You still have Tim Duncan, right? So you're going to have to bring in center that he can that he can nurture, right? Tony Parker's still there, and Tony Parker showed that he could have been the MVP this year.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely
destroyed him, right? You still have the pieces. Neal is still there. You know, you have some good pieces to that puzzle. And Pop's not going to just get beat.
No, he's such a smart coach, and the way he—let me ask you this—the way he rests his players, how smart? I mean, obviously it's smart, but as a person who plays, do players really sort of, especially veteran players, do you feel that they sort of need that rest to keep fresh for the playoffs? And do you think Pop is the best at managing that?
I think he's one of the best at managing it. Yep, I think he's one of the best at managing it because once again, these players are older. You know, Ginobili. Parker, you know, TP is older. You have Duncan that's older. These guys, you got to give them some rest. They still can produce, but you got to give them rest. Those knees will start, you know, creaking third quarter, fourth quarter. and by the way, you got to nurture your young. Okay? You got to give them time in order to supersede the players that are there now. Later, or deep in the playoffs. That's something that could have been missing, like what is his name? Dwan
Blair. Yeah.
Dwan Blair, right. Should have gotten more time.
Right.
Now,
I agree with that.
Danny Green showed out in the playoffs. I mean,
yeah,
right?
He did.
He's been cut twice by the team, right? And then you look at him. He perseverance is his middle name. So those are the type of players that you got to build around now. And I think that the NBA, to answer your question, the NBA is not giving – they're not going to give a championship away. You got to earn it. And the East, once again, the East is going to be strong. Just look at the Pacers. Look what they're doing.
Oh, by the way, they bring Danny Granger back. You know, that's a team that was a quarter away or half away from going to the finals.
They added Chris Copeland. Now they have him.
And C.J. Watson.
Boy, they have a tough team.
Oh, yeah. The Pacers,
and then
they're going to be great.
They went that deep without the best core, supposedly. Right?
Right. And think about the Bulls, you know, don't tell anybody, but they had the best, you know, they picked up the best free agent on the market named Derrick Rose, right? So he comes back off his knee, and they were a tough out to begin with. They obviously beat the Nets in the first round, and then, you know, they're a tough out. And then you add an MVP who says he's now 100%. They lost Bellinelli, but they'll be able to pick up somebody to play the two alongside of him because, he, you know, nice to attract people to Chicago and play with Derrick Rose. So, yeah, the state of the NBA in terms of, you know, there are quite a few bad teams, but there are two handfuls of really good teams that can honestly go into training camp thinking that they've got a chance to win it all.
That's right.
It's going to be a very exciting season.
Oh, yeah, and let's not forget about the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, they might have, and signing AK-47, signing Kirilenko, I thought was a big deal because he gives them a veteran, long athlete in the front court that can defend one-on-one, can weak side defend, and also, you know, he's a former NBA shot block leader,
right?
Champion.
That's right.
He gives them depth, and I tell you what, for a rookie coach, Jason Kidd has a lot of tools, and I keep giving Billy King credit. You know, he gave him – the cupboard is full in New Jersey. They don't have a megastar, but they have – the next level down, they have a lot of players.
But they have
that
warriors. Garnett
have.
And Pierce
yeah. –
Garnett and Pierce are warriors, and that's what you need. They will teach them how to win along with Jason Kidd, their coach. So I think it's really – you know, it's going to be – it's going to be a great season. And you know what, Hollis? We're going to have you back during the season, man. Maybe, you know, even a preview the season and get some of your picks because, you know, free agency is not quite over yet. So there'll still be some more movement and some more signings, maybe some trades. So we'll definitely have to chop it up with you and talk some more, you know, when the NBA season is getting ready to tip off in, you know, early November.
I'd love to. It'd be my pleasure.
This is great. Thank you so much, Hollis.
Thank you so much, Hollis.
Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. All right, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man, great show. Great show. Great guest and a former NBA small forward, Hollis Copeland for the Knicks. You know, told us the little story about the Nuggets, too, you know, where he was drafted. And it's just great, man, to hear about the battles and going against Dr. J and Bird and just that history. You know, it's, you know, I can only imagine and hear his mother's voice in the background, right, screaming. Can you imagine how proud, you know? My baby made it to the NBA on the Knicks. Like, man, that's, yeah, it just gives you chills. And we all can relate, right, when you hear the story about him, you know, copying Earl the Pearl Monroe, you know, like, you know, and that's stuff we did growing up, you know, copying Michael Richardson or Jordan or, you know, all these different players, you know, as Knicks fans, you know, Toby Knight and you know, even Mike Woodson, all these guys that we, you know, saw growing up as Knicks. So, and of course, Bernard King. So it's great. And we thank Hollis Copeland for joining us. It was a great show. Before we wrap it up, though, got to say, just real quick in NFL, the Broncos should be happy with re-signing an extension with Ryan Clady, their offensive lineman, gets $33 million guaranteed, you know, and obviously, you know, we will be talking NFL and training camp, you know, come July 24th and training camp opens. So another great show, man. You know,
yeah,
and
we had a great show. We apologize for those emails that keep backing up, but we'll get to them. But, you know, we had a special guest. And he had a lot of great points about the NBA, so we definitely shout out again to Hollis Copeland and thank him for joining us. And, yeah, we had a great show. We'll be back on Friday, normal time. So, let's have a great week. Let's enjoy the All-Star festivities. Let's enjoy some more free agency in basketball. And
NBA
football.
Summer League, baby. Wait, I just got to get it right. Listen, give a shout-out to my man Dwight Bikes, right, who played in the Orlando Summer League and earned him a contract with the Toronto Raptors, and he didn't even play for their team. So that's why Summer League is important, and ladies and gentlemen. Same with Chris Copeland last year, a 28-year-old or 27-year-old rookie. Great, amazing stories, and I just love it, man. You got to feel happy for these young guys trying to complete their life's dreams to play the game that they feel that they were born to play. You know, it's exciting.
Yeah, great show. Glad you could join us, and we'll see you next time. We'll see you on Friday.
Thanks for talking sports with friends. Ray and Dave, good day. Baseball, baby, enjoy it.
Take me out to the ball.